Welcome to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. My name is Brandi Gilmore, and after recovering from my own life-changing injury, it's become my mission to share with others the same discoveries I made that changed my health and my entire life. Our minds are truly incredible. The placebo is proof of this. Each week, I will take this simple awareness to a whole new level. I will even coach live callers to free themselves of physical pain using only their mind. And then I'll provide you with a combination of practical and spiritual insights that you can use to master your mind, your emotions, and your energy to help you heal your health, yourself, and your life. Let's begin. Hello and welcome. It is so wonderful to connect with you. You know, I have to say, I'm really excited about today's episode. I think you are going to find it very insightful in so many ways and really helpful on your journey of mind expansion and consciousness and energy. Just there are so many powerful insights of things that you'll want to do and also a lot of things that you will want to avoid, you know, pitfalls that I see other people falling into. And, you know, if you've been listening to past episodes, then you know that normally I talk about what it is that you want to do. You know, I'll take somebody and coach them to release pain, even in minutes, using just their mind. And it's about, you know, what it is that you want to do to get results. But today, I really want to focus on the part of what not to do, because I'm seeing a lot of people that are making mistakes in working with their mind that are creating stuckness or creating problems and pitfalls and a lot of issues. And I'm going to share some of those things with you. But, you know, a lot of times people are focused on the benefits of meditation, but they're not looking at the problems that it creates. And there are certain types of meditation that I would strongly recommend staying away from. And I'm just seeing more and more ways that they're actually really creating problems, which, by the way, you may be thinking, well, meditation can't possibly cause any problems. Or, you know, you might even be thinking that so many people are meditating these days that since everybody and more people are doing it, obviously it's got to be good for us. But I want to remind you that there are a lot of things that everybody's doing that don't make logical sense. And even when we look in the past, I mean, there have been times when we've kind of screwed up with things along the way. You know, if you think about looking way back when, I mean, doctors used to endorse cigarettes or cocaine used to be used by doctors. When we look back, we haven't always been spot on. And even their current day things. I mean, if you think about vitamin D, I mean, you've probably heard the buzz around making sure you get enough vitamin D and that everybody's low in vitamin D. Well, when you stop and think about it for a moment, research over the past 20, 30 years has been saying, you know, stay out of the sun for skin cancer, stay out of the sun, stay out of the sun. And of course, a lot of people have been doing that, making a point to get less sun. And when you stop and look at it, I mean, vitamin D comes from the sun. So in hindsight, what they really should have said is, if you're going to stay out of the sun, make sure to get vitamin D or else you're going to be vitamin D deficient. Okay, so that would have been the whole picture. But they were missing a big important piece of the puzzle. Or even another one that's impacting a lot of people, you know, if you think about, we've all heard the buzz about stay away from table salt, make sure to switch to sea salt, you know, but when you stop and think about it for a moment and you really look at the big picture, there's a reason that a lot of people crave salt. You know, if you look at table salt, it is iodized, meaning that it has iodine in it. And the reason that table salt has iodine in it actually dates back to around the 1920s. Basically, there were a lot of people with thyroid issues and goiters. And what happens is the thyroid needs iodine to be able to run properly. That's what it fuels itself off of, is iodine. But a lot of people's diets were iodine deficient. So What happened is that the government started purposely putting in iodine into salt to help everybody's thyroid balance out. And it was like an overnight response where a lot of people had a sudden improvement and it helped. But I mean, there was a major issue. There were areas of the United States that were even called like the goiter belt and things like that. I mean, there were just a lot of thyroid issues. Now, if you stop and think about it and you look at the big picture, everybody was eating a ton of table salt. And then research said, eek, stop the table salt. It's not good for you. But they didn't say, stop the table salt. It's not good for you, but make sure to get iodine somewhere else. Because part of the reason that people craved the table salt was because it had iodine in it. And so what happened is that now there were a lot of people with thyroid issues again, but then they're on some type of thyroid medication, things like that. I mean, I've seen plenty of people who were on thyroid medication for years, and the only problem they had was an iodine deficiency. And once they started getting an actual amount of iodine in, it balanced out. Now, of course, if you're on thyroid medication, I'm not telling you to just go off, because a lot of times the body gets used to it. And plus, I would never tell anybody to stop taking any medication, you know, see your doctor for that. But my point is that we overlooked that awareness. So I'll see a lot of people with really slow metabolisms, because of course the thyroid helps support the metabolism, and they're trying to eat healthy and they're eating sea salt and gluten-free and everything like that, but they have a low thyroid and they're not getting enough iodine. So that's another thing. But all you hear, of course, is stay away from table salt. And so a lot of people aren't looking at the other side of the coin. And that's what I'm talking about as far as meditation. There's another side of the coin, and we don't want to do that when it comes to our minds. And by the way, the list goes on as far as things that are happening that are backwards. I mean, another one that is just mind-boggling when you stop and think about it is cholesterol. You know, we've heard over and over, lower cholesterol, lower your cholesterol, and how important it is to lower your cholesterol. And let's be honest, we've also heard in our culture a lot of people saying, oh my God, you know, I don't have enough hormones, I don't have enough testosterone, I have hormonal issues. We see people with low hormones all of the time. Now, what most people don't realize is that hormones in the body are actually created from cholesterol. And so technically, if you break it down, hormones are synthesized from pregnenolone, and pregnenolone is created from cholesterol. So you can see how cholesterol helps create hormones. Now, I see with a lot of people, they're wiping out their cholesterol because they have too much cholesterol, and then they're also supplementing hormones because they don't have enough hormones, which is kind of like looking at the fridge and saying, wow, we have way too much food in the fridge, let's throw some out, and then looking at the dinner table and saying, wow, we're starving, let's get some food stamps. It's like, wait a second. How do we just get the food from the refrigerator to the dinner table so we can eat it, you know? So that's what it's all about to me, is it's getting the body to do what it's supposed to be doing. And of course, I'm not saying for anybody to go off any type of medication at all. What I'm simply saying is there are a lot of things when we really start to look at it that quote unquote everybody's doing that when you really stop and break it down, aren't so perfect, you know? And we don't want meditation to be a hindsight one. And unfortunately, that's where it's going. I'm seeing a lot of problems, especially with specific types of meditations, of things that are really ruining people's lives, their career, their relationships. And that's what I want to talk about today. And of course, I don't want to put you in a bunch of fear. That's not the goal either. And so we're going to talk about what not to do. Then I'm going to share with you what to do, and if you are somebody who has been using meditation in a way that's not great for your brain, I've also included a simple exercise you can do. So this is, quote unquote, a little bit of negative information or whatever, looking at the things not to do, but it's all wrapped in love. And that's the way that I want to deliver it, is I want to, of course, empower you, and I want you to avoid some of the pitfalls, you know? Even if you think about the last episode where I was working with Catherine, I mean, just a real sweetheart. And if you recall, she'd gotten the feeling of feeling like the physical world is quote unquote less, like inferior than the spiritual world. And I see that a lot in people where they end up creating a mindset that says, you know, the energy world is so amazing. And the physical world, you know, it's less than, it's inferior. And of course, you don't want to feel that way, which we talked about in the last episode. And if you missed it, I strongly recommend going back and tuning in, because you'll want to remember that the physical world is a reflection of our energy. And pretty freaking cool. I mean, when you stop and think about the awareness that we're literally suspended in space in the middle of a galaxy, rotating around a hot ball of plasma that we call the sun, you know, and that our oceans actually stay put on this globe and it all feels like it's flat, if you will, you know, we're walking around on it. I mean, when you stop and look at it, you think about gravitational energy and just the fact that our thoughts help create our lives. So, you know, when you stop and think about it, our world is pretty freaking amazing. And by the way, that's the balance that you want to have, is you want to feel grounded and like life is incredible and it is amazing and have that energy towards life. And you also want to be able to continue to expand your mind and your consciousness and shift your energy and help manifest, you know, healing and an incredible life. That is the best balance that you'll want to have. And by the way, if you've been around a lot of people who are highly successful, that's typically what you'll find, is that they're very expansive in their way of thinking and also present as well. And there are a couple of things that meditation does that can actually interrupt that. And we're going to talk about different types of meditation and what the problem is, and then a way that you can actually work with it so it's an actual positive. Because, of course, there are benefits to meditation. The way I look at it, it's kind of like a very healthy vegetable that's dipped in like a ton of table sugar or, you know, grease or, you know, whatever. It's basically something that's good for you and also has a problem part to it as well. And that's what you'll really want to tune into to make it optimal for you. All right. So that said, I'm going to go ahead and run through the list of the top five most problematic things that I see with meditation. And number five is that people do feel disconnected to the real world. And we even saw this in the last episode, where not only did our volunteer, who's a beautiful, beautiful being, big heart, brilliant mind, and yet felt disconnected from life and also disconnected in her relationship. And of course, there's more shifts that need to be taken there, but I see that a lot. Now, that disconnect, when you really start to break it down, there can also be a disconnect of depersonalization and derealization, where life becomes less and less real to people. Now, the problem, of course, is if you're living life and life doesn't feel real, what happens is people tend to make a lot of decisions that just get them in a bad place, where they're not really caring about life. And they don't realize the importance of their decisions. And then they end up in really bad places. And I've seen people do that where their life gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And on, you know, financial or health, I mean, just a lot of ways, because they don't have a connection to reality anymore. And I've seen this over and over and over again. And by the way, there's actually research done on this, you know, because I've experienced this with people over and over and over again. I was like, there has got to be somebody somewhere else who has noticed this. And so I started looking up things like derealization and depersonalization with meditation. And I found information dating back to the 1990s, where their research actually shows that meditation can lead to depersonalization and derealization. And what I'll do is I'll actually share the link of this research on my website with this podcast episode. So if you do want to take a look at it, you can. Now, I do want to say really quickly, there are different ways that people experience depersonalization. Sometimes what happens is if people have a trauma where they have extreme fear or extreme anxiety from a trauma, they can also experience derealization or depersonalization, where suddenly it's like an out-of-body experience. They have so much fear that it's an out-of-body experience. And so you'll see some research that's going, well, I wonder if meditation can help with derealization and depersonalization. And that's the way they're looking at that, is saying, okay, well, if somebody has all this trauma, can meditation help to stop it? And my best suggestion is that I would not recommend it. You know, in many cases, if a person has already had a lot of fear or anxiety and is experiencing depersonalization and derealization, then they can use meditation, which will help them relax, but it also still continues. It can create a type of disconnection from life in a different way. And anyways, to be clear, that's not the type of derealization, depersonalization that I was talking about. It's not the anxiety escape from life type of feeling. Instead, it is a type of disconnect and derealization of life, just feeling like life itself is not real and less important, and just the complete disconnect. And that's what I call it, really, is a meditative disconnect. And you don't want to go through life experiencing that. Of course, you want to go empowered, but you don't want to disconnect. And I have seen people and work with people who have lost like everything in their lives, or were on track with losing everything because everything became less real to them. I mean, their spouse became disconnected and they started just looking down on their spouse because their spouse or their partner was just a human and only in the physical world. And they look down on their spouse and feel completely disconnected from that person. And just their job or their business, they saw that less and less and less important because they meditate and look at, oh, energy and the fifth dimension and all these things. And they build these beliefs that feel like the energy world is more important and the physical world is inferior. And that's ultimately the things that I've seen. And so, of course, a lot of people have this to different degrees. Some people have this a little bit, some people have this a lot, but it's something that you'll want to pay attention to. Make sure to stay connected to those you love. Make sure to find importance in the physical world. Make sure to find importance in the physical contributions and the things that you're doing in the world, and also in your physical experience. I mean, we're all here for a reason. And even the entrepreneur I was mentioning to you, you know, people have really had their businesses and, you know, lost them. It wasn't like they had some company that was destroying the planet or something like that. Like, the companies that I'm talking about were actually doing great things for the world and very successful until they went into this like meditative state. And of course, you know, when I worked with them, I helped them pull out of it to become successful with it. So that was a great thing. But you'll just want to keep track of that in your own life to remember that there is importance in being in the physical world. And, you know, even in my own life, you know, prior to what I'm doing now, prior to my injury, I was doing network engineering and operations. And I have to say, I would not be able to do what I do today without that level of, you know, working in the way that I did, where I was troubleshooting networks every day for 40 to 60 hours a week, you know? And that helped me get really good at what it is that I do today. And so you may not see the spiritual connection. You may not see necessarily the importance in the bigger picture. I know when I did do network engineering, I loved it and I was really good at it. And again, it's helped me hugely do what I do today. And literally, without it, I don't think that I would even come close to getting the results that I do with people. And so anyway, just reinforcing that whatever you are doing in your physical experience, you won't want to belittle it. You'll want to remember that it is important and your life and your physical experience is important, and realize that this is all a miraculous creation of Earth and our physical world. I mean, it's amazing. All right. So anyways, that is number 5. And moving up to number 4, number 4 has to do specifically with silent meditation. And this is one that I would strongly recommend avoiding because it makes it harder to grow and causes a lot of different issues as well. But it really makes it harder to get results in life. And there's a variety of things that it's not optimal for. Now, when I do refer to silent meditation, the type of meditation that is that if you've ever before heard to just be silent and to silence your mind, and anytime a thought comes into your mind, to just simply acknowledge it and let it go, or simply dismiss it and let it go. And you won't want to train your brain to do that. Now, a lot of times the reason that people do this is they think, okay, it's going to create a stillness for them and they're going to not be so connected to their thoughts and they can disconnect from stress. And those are the feelings that they'll feel. They'll feel like it's trying to help them. But I want you to take a closer look at this for a moment. You know, if you picture two people meditating, they're sitting next to each other doing this form of silent meditation where they're relaxing, and anytime a thought comes up, they simply dismiss it. And a thought comes up and they dismiss it. Now, there are a few things you'll want to note. First and foremost, the thoughts in each person's head are going to be different. You know, from person number one to person number two, they're going to have different thoughts. Where are these thoughts coming from? Well, the thoughts are coming from information in their subconscious mind. Now, when you think about it for a moment, if you've listened to me work on the podcast with people, ultimately what I'm doing is I'm helping people identify specific things in their subconscious mind and shift them. You know, you've probably heard before where I'm working with somebody and I say, oh, well, this is the problem I'm seeing. And they go, oh my God, I didn't even see that, but I see it now. And the reason it is because it's in their subconscious mind. So it's below consciousness. And when I point it out, then they can see, oh my God, I need to work on this. All right. So that's how I help people to get radical results with healing, with transforming their life. Now, when you stop and think about silent meditation, ultimately what a person's doing is training their brain to ignore the thoughts that are coming from their subconscious mind. But to get real transformational results, you'll want to look at things that are coming up from your subconscious mind and release them or transform them. That's when you make radical shifts in your health and in your life. You know, you don't want to train your brain to ignore it. When you stop and think about it, your subconscious mind controls 90 to 95% of your brain. And so it's literally like training your conscious mind to ignore the things in your subconscious mind. And you don't want to do that. You know, there are a lot better ways to relax and really decompress, which we're going to talk about, that aren't going to have these other side effects as far as reducing the ability to see. And by the way, I got to tell you, when I've worked with people before who have done a lot of silent meditation, it is so much harder to work with them because even when I point things out to them to shift, they have a really hard time seeing it. Why? Because they've trained their brain to not want to see it. And so then it becomes even more challenging for them to get results. So it's almost like, hey, do you see the elephant in the room? And they're like, what elephant? And it's because they've trained their brain not to look at it. Plus, you know, when you've done silent meditation and the better you are at it, the better you kind of feel like you're doing a great job. So not only did they train their brain to avoid the elephant in the room, they ultimately end up rewarding their brain, saying, good job, brain, good job, brain. Now, if we take it a step further and look at how the brain works, anything that we train the brain to do on a regular basis, it starts doing on autopilot for us. It's like our brain is always trying to make things even more efficient. And if you think about, you know, tying your shoes, it's like you don't even have to think about it anymore. You just do it. Or even if you've even done this before, where you've gotten a car and you were driving somewhere familiar and you got to your destination, and then you thought to yourself, oh, wow, did I stop at all the stoplights along the way? Like, eek, your brain kind of checked out a bit. And my point being is that your brain starts doing things on autopilot, quote unquote, for you. And so what happens is with this silent meditation, when a person trains themselves that every time a thought comes up to ignore it and a thought comes up to ignore it, then ultimately what ends up happening is their brain gets so good at ignoring things, it makes it a lot harder to identify the links that you'll want to change to create awesome, radical results. So that's the part of silent meditation. And by the way, I'm not saying that there is nothing beneficial about silent meditation, because there is. The relaxation, the increased neuroplasticity, those are positive things, but it doesn't get you where you ultimately want to go. And so there's a better way of doing that. And I want to take a moment to talk about neuroplasticity. You know, and if you're familiar what neuroplasticity is, it's basically the awareness that we can make changes to our brain and the programming in our mind. And meditation has actually been shown to help increase neuroplasticity, so make it easier to make those changes. But again, there are different ways of doing it that are even better. And by the way, I do want to take a moment and just kind of simplify neuroplasticity for a moment to make everything easy. You know, if you're familiar with my work, I'm all about taking everything and make it simple so it's easy to understand and easy to implement. And when you think about neuroplasticity, an easier way to think about the ease of creating change is if you picture a woman who comes into a room and she's really, really upset. She just had an argument. She's really, really upset. She's trying to tell you all about what happened and what went wrong and all those things. And she's really, really upset. And let's say that in the midst of her being upset and trying to tell you everything that happened, that you want to reason with her and tell her the other side of the story and reason with her with that. Now, how does that typically go? You know, typically not so well. She might get upset with you. She might get more frustrated, feel like you just don't get it or don't understand. That's typically how it might go. But if you take a moment and she calms down, from that place of feeling more calm and relaxed, you can have a conversation. And if she maintains calm and relaxed about it, you can actually reason with her. She can come to her senses, so to speak, about it. And that, if you think about it, from that place of feeling more relaxed, that allows her to see things in a different way. And so that's a simplified way that you can look at neuroplasticity, is that when your mind is really upset or really emotional about something, and even if it's not outwardly really emotional, but if you have a lot of trauma or fear or things going on in your mind, it's harder to change those. However, in a relaxed state of mind, it can be even easier to create those changes and have that increased neuroplasticity. And I want to be clear, though, you don't need that from silent meditation. I mean, even when people are going through my video set and course, I provide things that I call mind activators. And it's because your mind isn't checking out. Instead, the goal is to activate positivity and positive programming in your mind. And so it's all about relaxation plus positive programming, which is a lot different than training your brain to ignore the thoughts that are coming up. That is key. All right, so that said, moving on to number three, which actually kind of piggybacks on that, that people are actually using meditation in the wrong way. Meaning this, a lot of people, they'll have a stress that's going on in their life, and so what do? They want to relax. And then they have a stress that's going on in their life, and what do? They want to meditate to relax. And there are multiple issues with this that we'll talk about. But number one, if you think about it for a moment, your mind, your goal is to really transform your life. Your thoughts help create your life. And so if you think about it for a moment, instead of somebody feeling like, okay, well, I'm stressed, let me go relax. I'm stressed, let me go relaxed and check out. Instead, what you'll want to do is you'll want to think about your life and where you want it to be. You'll want to use your mind. You know, if something is stressing you, you'll want to think about instead, what is it that you do want? What is the positive? Because a lot of times these days, people kind of want to check out from the stress. They don't feel like they can shifted. And sometimes that's through meditation, or sometimes it's through things like watching TV or drugs or alcohol or food or whatever it is. People are trying to check out in one way or another. And instead of wanting to check out or escape the stresses, you'll want to think about transforming them. You'll want to think about using your mind to really create your life. And so that is key also, and that is something that I see a lot with people because they feel like they can't really make the change. And you might think that sounds odd, but I see it all of the time. And even with the current episode, you know, I've been working with Catherine on the last episode, and if you listen to that episode, you know, I cut that short. So we did half of the session on one episode last week, and the other half of the session will be released in a couple days. Now, when I start talking to her about really connecting with the physical world and creating her life, one of the first things that come up for her is that she didn't really feel like she could do that. And again, she's a brilliant woman, very smart, and has been in spirituality and working with the mind for over 20 years. But that is what was in her subconscious mind, and that is true for a lot of people. It's not just her, which, again, may sound odd because the foundation of metaphysics or working with the mind is all about empowering to really transform your life. But for a lot of people, when it comes down to the reality of making a change, it doesn't feel so real anymore or so possible. And you'll instead want to really work with your mind to start making, again, those real changes. All right, so that is key. And number two piggybacks off this, and that has to do with what I call mental vacation meditation. And I strongly recommend staying away from this one. And, you know, in the last one, we were talking about meditating because there's a lot of stress. Now, with mental vacation meditation, this is where you kind of start picturing yourself off in nowhere land, just relaxing. And you might be thinking right now, Brandy, what is wrong with that? Why would you not picture yourself off somewhere relaxing? What's wrong with that? But I want you to think about this one in a bit of a different way. You know, you've probably heard before that we are fight or flight beings. You know, if we have some type of stress, we want to either fight or we want to flight. And technically, there's a third one, which is fight, flight, or freeze. But either way, kind of the core of our nervous system is really a fight or flight emotion, right? Either we want to fight something or we kind of want to run away from it at our core. Now, of course, there are a lot of everything in between, but if you take this basic foundational awareness, imagine for a moment that somebody comes home every day and they're stressed and they have a lot of stress with physical world. And so they picture themselves off in nowhere land, just about fifth dimension or under a waterfall, just meditating or whatever in nowhere land. And they do this over and over and over and over again. What are they doing? They're training themselves that when there's a lot of stress to check out. So the brain starts learning stress, check out, stress, check out. And the reality of it is when you do this, you're training your brain to go on a mental vacation or flight when it comes to stress. You know, a lot of stress going on in life. Okay, mental flight. A lot of stress going on in life. Okay, mental vacation from it. A lot of stress going on in life. Okay, mental vacation from it. And so ultimately, if you really look at what you're doing, is you're training your brain to flight. You know, fight, flight, or freeze. You're training your brain, hey, if there's a lot of stress, what you want to do is mentally check out. Eek! Like, you don't want to train your brain to check out when it comes to stress. Instead, you want to teach it to win. You want to teach it to overcome stress and to win and to create a better life. And that's what you want to do. Now, I mentioned that I would strongly recommend staying away from this one. And this is the reason why, is that when I've worked with people before who've had Alzheimer's or dementia, ultimately what they had programmed in their mind was a form of mental escapism. And by the way, if you've ever been around somebody before with Alzheimer's, then you know that they're mentally checked out, or all of a sudden they're in the 70s and they're talking about that, or they're talking about, you know, a lot of things that may or may not even be real or maybe from the past. And energetically, when I've worked with people like this to help them to shift it so their mind stayed in the present, and I've had people I've worked with before who've been undiagnosed from Alzheimer's. And so I've seen that, which was amazing. Okay. And of course, I just worked with them. Their doctors are the ones that are in charge of diagnosis and all that. I don't do any of that. But point being is just very simply that I don't see it as a good thing to train your brain to check out. And if every day you're feeling some stress and you go, okay, well, let me just go off in la-la land and let me go to a fictitious place and let me do that, then you're training your brain to mentally escape. And ultimately what happens is not only is your brain wanting to escape, but I've seen a lot of people before who were actually good at dealing with stress, and they, you know, had successful lives, and then they started meditating and they literally train their brain to run from stress, and they feel weaker because of it. They don't feel like they can handle things emotionally. They feel overwhelmed by emotion. They feel incapable of handling busy streets or busy cities or things like that because their brain just wants to run from it. And they feel like they can no longer handle a lot of things going on. And a lot of times it's because they've spent so much time with their brain running from any type of stress or checking out or going to some type of la-la land. Now, I want to be super careful to make a distinction. There is a very big difference between somebody feeling like, oh my God, there is stress, I just want to check out and go to a fictitious land or somewhere else, compared to if somebody's stressed and they say, okay, you know what? I want to use my mind to picture my life going great and wonderful and feeling loved or successful or happy or healthy or whatever that is. That's a completely different feeling. That's not an escape. That instead is an assertive response that's saying, look it, I want to change this. And so that's a completely different feeling. So don't be afraid to go into a vision that is fictitious, that is your vision that you want to create. That's great. Like, create it and step into that. Absolutely. So I'm not saying don't step into a vision, but what I am saying is don't build up a habit of checking out. You know, I gave the example earlier of driving somewhere and getting to your destination and then wondering if you stopped at all the stoplights. Because again, your mind gets good at things and it gets automated. It does it faster and better and more efficient. And I don't want to train my brain to go on vacation. And I sure as heck don't want to train my brain to get so good at going on vacation, it goes on vacation without me, you know, where it's just checking out. And I've seen people do that to where after they've meditated for long periods of time, it's like they lose gaps in their day where they don't remember things that happened at all. You know, or there's long periods of time where it's like all of a sudden they're going through their day. One minute it's 11 o'clock, the next minute it's 3 o'clock, and they're going, what happened to that gap of time? Which is kind of the same thing when you're driving and you get to your destination and you go, oh, what happened to the last 10 minutes of that drive? You don't really remember it. And so I'll see people do that where they're really losing gaps of time in their day because they have been meditating so much that they're training their brain to do that. So anyway, there are a million reasons that I would recommend staying away from mental vacation meditation. And I see people doing it all of the time with apps and different things like that. So just again, something to avoid. And that does actually bring us to number one, which is getting in bad information. And so, you know, something that we're seeing a lot of in our culture right now is everybody wanting to lead a meditation. You can go to a yoga class where there is somebody who's 19 years old or 20 years old who's leading a meditation. And of course, nothing wrong with age. By the time I was 19, I was doing network engineering and operations. I mean, I started early with that. So any age can be brilliant. But you'll see people who are young and new to the mind or haven't really even studied the mind, but have studied yoga and learned how to do some fitness. And now they're leading a class and programming everybody's mind with a meditation. And I gotta say, I work with people all of the time whose biggest trauma, so to speak, is actually what they learned in spirituality. You know, and I know I referenced in the last episode, episode number 64 and 65, where there was the woman who had this strong belief in karmic debt. And that was linked to loss of her eyesight, you know. And when we shifted that, she was able to see, which, by the way, shifting eyesight sounds impossible, I know, to a lot of people. But when you stop and think about it, there are instances with people who have had multiple personality disorder, where in one personality, they have a much different vision than in a different personality. So even somebody, I believe, that was blind in one personality who could see in another personality. So for anybody thinking, oh my God, that's impossible, it's woo-woo, you'll actually want to look. There is research, and even I will put a link on this episode also if you're somebody who wants to look at that. But, you know, it's not impossible. Our bodies really are truly incredible. So anyways, point being is that I'm seeing a lot of people who are getting misinformation that is misguiding them. And even on my own journey, I had that same thing, and I had to correct my mind from what was going on. And again, I am going to share an exercise that you can do if any of these things apply to you. So I'm not just going to say, here's a bunch of things, don't do it, and put some fear in and leave you. I wouldn't do that to you. So, but either way, point being is that even things that people think are good are creating problems in the mindset. Even simple things like somebody saying that being selfless, being completely selfless, is the right way to go. And ultimately what will happen is that people will embody being completely selfless to the 10th degree, you know, they'll embody it all of the way. And then they've got to a point where they're only giving love and not receiving love. They just don't feel it anymore. And their brain won't allow them to feel it anymore because they're selfless and it's not about them. So they literally don't receive. And this may sound odd for some people, but when they really get it programmed in, then they have a hard time feeling love. Now, our souls need love and connection. And what'll happen is this person will try to do and do and do for others and feel like it's selfish to do anything for themselves. And inside, it doesn't matter how many people they're around, they still feel lonely or disconnected from people because that selflessness has been so ingrained and has been so ingrained that they should just do for others that they're so deeply programmed that they can't receive. So that's one thing. Or I've seen people who have been studying the law of attraction and manifesting for many, many years, and they've followed the wrong messaging that's basically told them that, you know, anything that you want is just going to manifest for you. Money is going to manifest out of thin air and you don't have to do anything. Love is going to manifest out of thin air and you don't have to do anything. And, you know, that it's more spiritual if you don't have to do anything. And so I've seen people and worked with people who've had multi-million dollar businesses who've then decided to become spiritual and then in doing so felt like it was lesser than or inferior to take physical action, that everything should just manifest without effort and without physical action, and have literally had a hard time even getting themselves to take physical action, even if there's a part of them that says, I know I should be taking care of things. The other part of their brain says, well, that would be inferior. That would be mere mortal and you're spiritual. So don't do that. Just manifest it. And so they just try to manifest it even more without action. Or another really unfortunate thing that I've seen is people, again, start to feel like the spiritual world is so much more superior that they actually feel like it would be the next level, like a graduation to die. And so there's a part of them that wants to die And I've worked with people before with major health issues. And part of what was going on is that they wanted to die. And again, the goal here is to be spiritual, absolutely, but spirit full, you know, full of spirit and full of joy and really connected with the amazing physical world and also the energy world. That's the balance you want to have. And by the way, the list goes on. I mean, surrender is another big one. And unfortunately, I see this over and over where people are trying for something and then they're told to surrender. And surrender vibrates like giving up. And so either people completely surrender, in which case I've seen people that have come very close to checking completely out of the physical world because they've been like, well, I'm supposed to surrender. And I'm like, eek, don't do that. You know, if you think about it, I've worked with people back to back on the podcast episodes to help them release pain. And not once have I ever said to anybody, surrender. Okay, I wouldn't say that. And I work with my VIP coaching clients with money and all kinds of things, you know, building businesses and relationships and making difference in the world and, you know, all different types of things. And I've never once told them to surrender. You don't want to surrender. Anybody who thinks that it's surrender is missing the real shift that's happening underneath. And what will happen is people, unfortunately, are trying to go after what it is they want and simultaneously surrender, which makes it so they never get where they're wanting to go, or they just embody surrender fully, and that makes them very complacent and giving up. And that's not what you want to do either. And by the way, there's even this beautiful actress who has given a talk on the power of surrender, you know, because a lot of people are mistaken about what it really takes to manifest. And so, you know, she was talking about when she started her acting career of being the first time she was in really a lead role, and talks about how much she really, really wanted this film. And she just loved the film so much that she felt like it was hers. And what happened is as it approached, you know, she auditioned for it. And then it turned out that it felt like somebody else got it. And she tells this whole story about then what she did is then she surrendered. And right as soon as she surrendered, she got the part. Now, when I check into the energy of what really happened is that she had so much love for this film that she did. She manifested everything, like getting this audition. And it was like everything was unfolding because she had so much love. And she's just this actress with a beautiful heart and just beautiful inside and out. So her love for it, and she was so aligned with it, was manifesting beautifully. Now, when it came to auditioning, in her energy, she had a feeling of expectation that she didn't really deserve it, that a real actress, somebody who had been acting longer, really did. And so ultimately, she manifested that experience. But she calls it surrendering, but what she actually did is it wasn't surrendering. She returned to love. So point being, when she told her story, she didn't give up and say, oh, I give up, I surrender, I give up. No, what she did is she said, I can return to loving this. I can return to loving this film. I can love this whole film. So what she did, the key wasn't surrender. The key was returning to love. And that's key. But point being is sometimes people share things and they don't really realize what it was that caused everything to unfold. And they might pick something that it's not. Because let's be honest, the mind is extremely counterintuitive. And so I see that all of the time where people think it is one thing that helped and they're teaching that, but it's something different. And so either way, point being, if you've heard surrender, 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 I'd strongly recommend going through each of the podcast episodes and listening to people get results. And not once did I recommend surrender. And unfortunately, I've had people over and over come into my video set and start working, you know, with a class I'm teaching or something like that, And they have been so stuck because they trained themselves to surrender and told themselves that's how they were going to heal. And so it's definitely not surrender. It is return to love, return to positivity, let the negative go, and bring in the positive is key for aligning. And, you know, of course, if you have a negative energy or negative expectation, you'll want to release that. But it's not about surrender. It's about return to love, return to positivity, return to empowerment, return to those high vibration feelings and energy. That's what is key. You know, the easiest way to illustrate it is if you think about getting in a car and you put your foot on the gas pedal and you realize you're not going anywhere. And so you look down and you realize that your other foot is on the brake pedal. Okay. And so what happens is you end up stuck. And that's how a lot of people are. They want something, and yet they also have blocks towards it that keep them stuck in life. And so you don't want to say, well, I give up on driving, I'm just going to sit here. No, what you want to do is make sure that you're pushing on the gas pedal, so you're bringing in all of the reasons why you want it, and you're getting that programmed into your subconscious mind and aligning with it. And of course, there's deeper things in the mind, which I call the NBS needs, and you know, there's a lot more things, but just very simply, the gas pedal, you want to increase that. That's your energy towards something. And then the brake pedal, any blocks, you know, things that say like, I don't deserve this are some common ones, or I'm not good enough, or yada yada. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons for blocks or negative energy towards healing or manifesting or anything like that. Of course, each person is different. But you get my point, is that that is a feeling of stuckness, and you don't want to just say, well, I surrender. Instead, you want to shift that energy. And so even that example of that actress that I was mentioning is that in that case, that's what she did. It wasn't that she surrendered. It's that she let go of the negative and went back to all positive, went to love towards it, and really, really brought that love in and the high vibration energy to help her get back in alignment with everything. And of course, it takes more than love. There are multiple things, but I don't want to make it too complex here. I'm just saying, very simply, you want to align with the things that you really want. And of course, when it comes to healing, what you'll want to do is to target the specific things to heal. And that's what I've demonstrated back to back on the podcast episodes, is really targeting those specific things. And so that takes us to what it is that you do want to do. And so number one, and we talked about this, is that if there is something that is painful or stressful in your life, don't just endure it, transform it. And remember that. And number two, we also talked about neuroplasticity, where relaxation and mentally relaxing your mind is a good thing. And of course, there are tools and techniques that you can use to do that specifically, to target specific information. But either way, relaxing your mind helps increase neuroplasticity, and that can be great for helping to program your mind even easier. And of course, you'll want to make sure not to program your mind to ignore your thoughts or go numb to what is in your subconscious mind, but to really change it. And that leads to number three, is that you want to target specific things. You know, a lot of times people are saying, oh, I want to be more positive or have more gratitude or just lift my frequency. I hear that a lot with people, but you want to make sure to really transform specific things. That's how you get results with healing, with money, with success, with relationships, with all kinds of things. Whatever it is, you know, you want to be specific in your mind programming, and not just in what you put in, but also what you release, you know, the negative programming. And a lot of people, what they're doing is they're just meditating to try to numb themselves to what is really in their subconscious mind. So now it's something is still there, but they are disconnected with the emotion of it. So yes, it's still there, but it's disconnected. Or they'll say things like, you know, so-and-so did this to me, but I forgive them. But it's still there. And ultimately, when you really, really release something, it doesn't even feel like it's there anymore, which I know for a lot of people, that sounds like, well, it happened. It's got to be there. not when you really release it. It changes, it transforms in your mind, and it's incredible. And by the way, I know that on the regular episodes, typically I'm not going that deep in the mind. Of course, I'm looking at the subconscious, but they're demonstrations, and there are layers in the mind. And ultimately, you always want to make sure to clear information at a deeper and deeper and deeper level. That's what real empowerment is, and that is where you see the change. And kind of to give you an illustration of what I mean, it's like this. Imagine that somebody's walking into their house, and as they walk into their house, there are a ton of different radio stations playing everywhere. Some of them are great, some of them not so great, and they're all playing at the same time. Now, imagine for a moment if that person says, my goal is to just come into my house and to get really good at ignoring all of these radio stations. I'm going to get really good. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to breathe, and I'm going to ignore them all. That is what you don't want, but that is what a lot of people are doing with their mind. You know, they're trying to just meditate and not feel what's there, or tap it away so they're not really connecting with what's really there, and just get better and better at ignoring it so they can have some peace of mind in this house that's filled with all these radio stations playing. And by the way, in this example, all of these radio stations are old memories, some positive, some negative and painful, and some, you know, in between. And so instead, what you ultimately want to do is be able to walk into the house, and if there are negative radio stations playing and also positive ones, that you identify the negative ones and you shut them down. You pinpoint which one it is and you shut it down, or you change it to positive so it's transformed. Then what happens is you walk into your house and it's playing a lot of great music and life feels really good inside your house. And ultimately, that's how you want life to feel inside your head, that you're walking around and you're having loving thoughts and sweet thoughts and kind thoughts and grateful thoughts. And that's how you really feel, not because it's forced, but because those are the radio stations playing in your head. You know, an example of that is if you've ever fell in love before and you just can't stop thinking about the person. That's a positive radio station. And what happens is when you really address the negative ones and you get rid of them, it's also easier to hear the positive ones as well. And so, point being is that to ultimately change your health and your life and your level of happiness, you'll really want to master your mind and create changes at a deeper level in your mind. And unfortunately, with a lot of the types of meditation and the apps and the silent meditation or the mental vacation meditation or just a lot of the programming, unfortunately, what I'm seeing are a lot of people who are checked out or who are disconnecting from what's really in their subconscious mind. And then they have a harder time actually seeing what it is. And they're doing things that make them feel a bit better at the time. So they feel a bit more relaxed. More spiritual, they feel like things are clearing up, but the patterns are still continuing in their life. And sometimes they see the patterns, and sometimes they don't, because then it gets harder and harder to really see what's going on. So, in short, our minds are truly incredible, but we really need to learn how to master them. And when we do, I really, truly see the most incredible things. You know, you've seen the episodes on podcasts, but all kinds of things with health, with life, with success, all kinds of things. Not because I'm so amazing. Yes, of course, I'm amazing, and we're all amazing. And I love that. And you'll want to really step into your power fully. And by the way, as I mentioned in the very beginning, I'm not just going to say, well, here's some problems and abandon you. So if you have been doing any of the things that we talked about, then I highly recommend changing those and seeing what good you can extract from it and maybe the things that you'll want to avoid. And I hope this also really does get you thinking about what is going into your mind, because all of the time I'll see people who work in technology who are like, oh my God, I should start charging for a meditation. Let me just put some music behind it. Let me speak a bunch of words. And I have now a meditation that I can sell. And when I hear these things, I'm like, oh my God, it sounds positive, but they're programming in information that's not good. And so with that, you'll want to always be conscious and filter what's going into your mind and be very aware and just, you know, pay attention, because even the things I listed here, I mean, I could go on and on and on for days of the things that I see people do. And so you'll want to just be very conscious of that. And by the way, if you are somebody who has made a habit of kind of checking out, or we talked about depersonalization, derealization, feeling disconnected from the physical world, all of those things, I did go ahead and create a special little exercise that you can do that is easier to explain on video so then I can demonstrate it. And so that said, you can go to my website at brandygilmore.com/present. because it really has to do with being in the present and connecting with that energy. Or I'll just leave that link on my website with this podcast episode, so you can just click there as well, whatever is easiest for you. But there's basically like a short 15-minute video that I'll run you through just a quick exercise to really help you embody the present and also undo some of these effects if you've been going through any of the things that I listed. I know in my own life, I did that same thing and I had to really reconnect and get back in my body and also straighten out some of my programming. So that said, again, it's a free gift. It's there. If you want it, great. And as I mentioned in the very beginning, I know that there are a lot of insights here. I would highly recommend just taking a little bit of time to digest the information. Again, I'll go ahead and have my team put those links right on my website with this episode, so you can go there and research and kind of digest the information. And as you do, you'll want to remember that you won't want to take this information and be fearful with it. That is definitely not the goal. Instead, you'll want to be really conscious. You want to use it to be empowered. You know, the last thing I'd want you to do is feel fearful. I'd want you instead to feel empowered, to feel consciously aware of this, and to really make sure that you avoid a lot of these pitfalls that I see people making. So that is the goal, that is key. And then of course, to continue to elevate your life. All right, so as we begin wrapping up, I do wanna say that if you have friends or family or people that you know who are working with programming their mind or into spirituality or meditation, my biggest suggestion to you would be to make sure to share this episode with them. Help them to avoid the pitfalls that I see people fall into over and over and over again. And that would be kind and helpful. I know me personally, I fell into some of these same things and had to pull myself out. And so again, there's the exercise that you can grab on my website. So that is available for you as well if you're somebody who needs to start creating that shift. All right, so I have to say, it has been such a pleasure connecting with you, and I wish you a most wonderful, happy, spirit-full rest of your day. Thank you for listening to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. All of the time, people reach out and say how much these episodes have given them hope or touched their heart or helped them stay positive in hard times or even woken them up to a completely new level of awareness of how amazing we all really are. If today's episode touched your heart or expanded your mind in any way, please do me a favor and be sure to share it with those you care about or those you know who really need it. As more and more people become empowered, it really will change our world for the better. That is the point and the power of these demonstrations, is to create a radical shift in our world consciousness by showing everyone what we are all capable of. And of course, each volunteer will really need to follow through to reinforce their programming to maintain their results. But the point is for you to see that you really can create rapid results in your health and your life if you really understand how to use your mind. You're incredible. And I do want to be clear, though, that most people will not get results this fast on their own. I make it look very easy because of the discoveries that I made. You'll want to remember that there's so much more going on in our minds at a deeper level than people realize. That said, if you want to send me any questions or comments, come visit me on my website at brandygilmore.com/podcast. And if you're currently experiencing physical pain and would like to be a volunteer on the show, you can sign up there as well. Lastly, please remember, if you do have any health issues, you won't want to avoid your doctors. Instead, you'll want to continue seeing them and make it your goal to blow their minds with what you're capable of with your mind. Thank you.